Hey guys, welcome to the first ever episode of the Football Corner. My name is Vikram, and opposite me is my esteemed colleague and close friend, Mr. Bharat Kapoor.
Hey Vicky, how's it going?
All good, man. Super excited to kick this one off.
Absolutely, really excited. Super stoked.
Yeah, and excited to bring our view and our opinion of the ongoing football scene to listeners out there, and maybe inform them a little better.
I mean, we talk about all this stuff as fans, and I think being regular people who just love football, we can totally connect with the fans. Let's see how we go.
So without any further delay, let's jump into our first segment, which we kind of don't have a name for yet, but I'm sure we'll get it along the way. It's basically going to be a roundup of the matches that have happened midweek, end of week. Anything important?
Yeah, so important. We can treat it like an EPL plus-plus.
You know, EPL plus-plus.
At all.
Yeah. I think we have a name. Maybe not.
Let's see.
So, kicking things off, I think the first important match of the week that we saw, Man U Tottenham. Bharat, what were your thoughts on that beautiful, beautiful game of football that happened?
It was not beautiful. Let's be upfront about that. It was a typical Jose performance, but he got the win, and that's what matters.
He did get the win, and in typical Mourinho fashion, he was blatant about the way he got the win and was blatant about the way his fans reacted to that win.
Yeah, you saw that shush to the camera.
Yeah, and even his statement post that fans will boo when they boo and they'll cheer when they cheer. So.
Do you see Pochettino's face when he was doing that shush? Honestly, I watched that shush so many times, I stopped looking at the shush and I started just looking at Pochettino. Pochettino was like, what is this guy up to?
Especially when you're losing, right? And you lose in that fashion, you have to be super annoyed by it. So I'm sure it didn't help. But one thing to note here was that was the Tottenham without Kane. And I think that's a big factor in the way they play.
I think we can talk about that all day long, how Kane makes Tottenham a better team. But I think Kane would make any team in the world a better team, in my opinion. He's so red hot right now. He's having a purple patch that's just seemingly not ending. Yeah, he has his August troubles, but I think that's just bullshit.
That doesn't matter at the end of the day. If he comes out in September and just scores braces on top of braces or hat-tricks, it doesn't even matter what his August was like, right?
He doesn't even score just one goal. He scores twos and threes, and then one and twos and threes. As a manager, what more do you need? Your focal point, your star man, and he's just scoring bucket loads.
I know. And one thing to note there was Lukaku's, dry patch, if you would compare to his start during the league, which was insane. I think the best ever United start, or maybe the second best ever by a player. So he hasn't had a goal in a while now, but he did provide the assist to Martial. And I don't know, man. Result's a result. I like Mourinho's approach to football. All he cares about is points and trophies at the end of the day. And he gets them to you. He delivers. So nothing wrong with it, in my opinion.
I hate Mourinho. Okay, I hate him from the bottom of my heart. He cost us the title in 2013, 2014.
Us being?
Okay, well, maybe it's the right time to bring it up. I actually like Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan. Stevie G all the way. Yeah, okay. I'll get to you later. So I hate Mourinho. I hate his press conferences. I hate how he's an absolute hypocrite. But I think the way he sets teams up, the way he's solid defensively, the way he drills people, the way his team is always focused, always concentrating, I admire that a lot. And that happened in this game. Spurs had half chances but didn't have cutting edge. Why? Because United were that good defensively. And then Spurs had one lapse in concentration. I'm not second-guessing Pochettino, maybe I am, but why would you play Dier there? Dier is a central midfielder. You know, you insist on playing him in a back three or a back four. That's not his natural position. So Dier started out as a defender and then moved to central midfield, and that seemingly was his established position.
Where he flourished,
yeah, and right. He plays there for England as well.
Right.
He doesn't usually play for England in the defense. And then instead of playing his settled back three, he chose to bring in Dier. And Dier was one of the main culprits for the goal. So Alderweireld loses the header. He knows he's going to lose that header. Why is he going in full steam? He should just drop off 2 or 3 yards. And Dier also knows that Alderweireld is going to lose that header. Why is he not sprinting to cover 2 or 3 yards, knowing that Martial is that quick? Martial just steals in behind him, and Dier's just nowhere to be seen. It was it was not expected from this Spurs team, this Pochettino Spurs. And I was quite disappointed in that because it was just a simple long ball played by De Gea. Lukaku just flicked it on. He's good and strong in the air. And Martial just gambled. And he got there. And it was a scuffed finish, but it doesn't matter. Ended up in the onion bag.
I agree. And one positive I feel for United here is Martial's just becoming the super sub for these guys. Quite like how Chicharito was during the Manchester United heydays.
He's been compared to Solskjaer as well.
Solskjaer, oh my god, best super sub ever, dude. So he's doing really well. And having that option and that depth as opposed to what it was like two or three seasons ago when Rashford was just coming up and he wasn't tested and stuff like that. Rashford, again, I'm liking the way he's playing and how he's supporting Lukaku. It's pretty promising for United, man. And being a Jose fan in general, I have high hopes of this team.
You're a Jose fan? Yeah. Jose fan. Jose is Spanish, actually. I think Jose is the Portuguese version.
Whatever, dude. Mourinho, Mu, whatever.
Why do you like him?
I don't know. I just... The unbrashered...
He's such a big hypocrite.
I don't know, man.
Is he not a massive hypocrite?
Dude,
every single time...
Who isn't? Isn't Wenger a hypocrite?
No, this guy is blatantly a hypocrite.
I love his blatantness. I love it.
Just that
it's an energy that's been missing in football for years and years and years.
Are you kidding me?
And he backs it up with results. That's what I like the most.
Usually he backs it up with results.
He's been a football manager for all of 12 years, 13 years, roughly that much time. And the number of trophies he has is unbelievable. Think about what Mourinho will be like when he's 65.
Fair enough. But do you think he's going to stay at United for the long term?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
His
that's
next
not what
job is probably PSG.
His next team... Probably he only knows, or the people he's talking to know, or his agent knows, who's not even an agent. He's literally the king of football right now. I never said that he's going to stay at United long term. He has never been, and he's very open about it, that he's never been a long term manager at teams. He doesn't like doing that. I don't know, man. Anything can change, but I generally just like his thing.
Yeah, but sooner or later, your teams are going to run out.
That's true. You can always come back. He can do Chelsea 2.0, Man U 2.0.
He'll do Chelsea 2.0.
Yeah, he'll do a 3.0. So that being said, let's just jump into the next few games that we kind of want to touch upon a little bit here. First being the Arsenal-Swansea match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a 2-1 result. And I think this was the second time this season, if I'm not mistaken, where Lacazette, Ozil, Sanchez, they were full strength. They were like, Kosh was playing. They were all guns blazing. And yeah. Basis of last week's result with Everton, this turned out to be a more drab affair, I would suggest. And if Kolasinac wasn't there, it would have been a worse result for these guys. So I'm not too impressed by that performance this week.
New left back. Yeah, he's a big, strong guy. Slotted in right away. And he's the one who's getting you your equalizers?
Yeah.
Really? Arsene Wenger?
And come assisting on. Your winners as well. That's crazy.
Oh, but that was a classy assist though. And
sure.
A classy finish.
Yeah, but with the Sanchez
that's
in the mix.
That's hard to do.
100%. I'm not... he's the reason they won and he had a tremendous game and kudos to anyone who had him in fantasy and stuff like that. But 2-1 over the struggling Swansea, I didn't feel it, dude, at all.
I think at this point we can probably say that they're not playing the best football. Arsenal, that is.
Mm-hmm.
But then good teams get results when they're not playing well. And as much as we can criticize Wenger for having all these attacking players and being full strength and that Kolasinac has to come up with the goods, it's okay. He's a part of that team. So Swansea did well, but didn't do well enough to prevent those two goals. And I just want to touch upon that Ramsey finish. That is a hard skill. You can so totally just balloon that or just not make any contact. It just hits your standing leg and just bobbles away. But he just, there wasn't too much pace on the ball anyway, and he just took all the pace off it. And maybe Fabianski could have done better, but I think that was such a classy finish.
I agree with you there. And one thing that you brought to my attention, which I'd completely glossed over, they're moving up the table slowly and steadily and doing what Arsenal does best, is just creep into that top four.
They're 11 on points with Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah, and get that automatic Champions League position, which I think Arsene Wenger...
That's Arsenal's trophy.
And just jumping on to the next few matches that we kind of want to touch upon. This one's for you, Liverpool-Huddersfield. Clean sheet. Congratulations, good sir.
Well, I think congratulations are in order because clean sheets have been very hard to come by in in recent games.
Yep.
Actually, throughout Klopp's tenure, he's a very chaotic coach. I actually have a very close friend who's a Dortmund fan, and he's been following Dortmund for a while. And he said Klopp has always been poor defensively. He's always been poor at set pieces. And you are going to get punished in the Prem, and you can see that.
Yeah, that's pretty evident to see. 3-0, even though it's Huddersfield, I still think it's a great result for them. Good morale boosting post.
Honestly, I didn't expect anything else. You could forgive me for being pessimistic and be like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And the first half, all Liverpool fans were quite tense because mm-hmm. Liverpool didn't make the breakthrough. Salah missed a penalty, mm-hmm. not playing well, Huddersfield defending well. And then second half, just started his movement. And you know he's a classy finisher if he can just stay fit. And that's it. That just opened the floodgates. And I think Huddersfield were really deflated after that. So it was a well-deserved win, a much-needed 3 points and a much-needed clean sheet. Let's see what happens in the coming game week.
True that, man. And we had our regular fixtures with results. Man City 3-2 win over West Brom, which on paper sounds close, but it wasn't that close, to be honest. It was a routine Man City win. And a Chelsea 1-0 over Bournemouth. Murata back, still slotting in. Hazard being Hazard. I think that wasn't Chelsea playing. It was just Eden Hazard versus Bournemouth. One thing I want to talk to you, which is very interesting to me particularly, is Watford Stoke. Just to touch upon it for a couple of minutes here. Watford's been playing pretty well, way above their...
Love their coach. Love
yeah, him. They've been playing really well. So that loss is disappointing. And more so of that one incident, you know which one I'm talking about. Troy Deeney.
And Allen, yeah.
What was that all about, dude? Like, that guy, I know he has some issues in terms of, like, a violent mindset and stuff. He's apparently been to jail for kicking someone when he's down. And that completely looked straight from a fight on the side of the street. Yeah, it's like, that was so messed up.
I mean, he's a big, strong guy, okay? And he uses his strength wisely. You know he's not the best technically. You know he doesn't have pace. He actually accused the Arsenal players... when Arsenal lost 2-1 to Watford, that they have no cojones.
Mm-hmm.
I think he may have shown too many cojones mm-hmm. over there because he's been banned for 3 games. And I saw that incident. Yeah. I saw a replay of that incident. It was awful.
Yeah.
Being a Liverpool fan, I've seen Joe Allen and I kind of know his mental makeup, and he's not like that. He's not like that at all.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't seem one with a...
He's a pretty straightforward player. Yes. Good, hardworking player. And I think Troy Deeney must have really provoked him and got him going. And then he clutches him around the mouth. I mean, what's that about? That's a red card offense.
And generally for Watford, it was a slightly disappointing result. I like the form Watford's in. So losing 1-0 to Stoke may or may not be a good result for them. But they've been punching way above their weight in the Prem. So it could be a slight correction. Either way, jumping into the Champions League fixtures for midweek, we had a couple of interesting matches. First, I want to talk about Roma-Chelsea.
Wow. It was a really weird game. I saw that game and Chelsea had all the possession. They had all the ball. They had a few good chances. Morata skied one from a mistake from the Roma defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he should have scored. He was clean. He was literally, he just needed to stroke it past the keeper. So Morata has not been having the best time. He missed a few chances against Bournemouth as well. So he's a little off form, probably due to the injury and that he's not back to full match fitness 100%. Chelsea had all the ball. The first goal, I can't even begin to explain. So it was a really bad goal to concede. Azpilicueta didn't block the cross. Dzeko doing what he does best. He got in between two of the centre halves, won the header, knocked it down. El Shaarawy came onto the ball and what a magnificent strike. But the biggest problem there was A, Chelsea dropped too deep so they couldn't head that ball out. So Dzeko got on the ball. And B, Alonso just stopped because Dzeko had his arms in the air and he thought that he handballed it. And he just stopped. And then El Shaarawy just stole in and just slammed it into the back of the net. Awful goal to concede in the first minute.
In the first minute, I think, yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like, it's such a morale buster. And then just adding on top of that within the 36th minute, adding a second goal. Just
again, a defensive lapse. So Rudiger, it's a simple cross. Nainggolan just plays in a simple ball over the top. And Rudiger just lets it go.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot imagine what happened in that goal. I was shell-shocked. Rudiger lets it go thinking that there's nobody behind him. El Shaarawy's steaming in behind him with, I think, was it Luis who was covering him? Or Alonso covering him? One of the two players who was covering him.
Right.
And he just stole in and just poked it into the back of the net. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe his luck. Rudiger just let it go. If you see that goal, you will be as shocked as I am.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. So that was a bit disappointing post the first leg, which was a very entertaining 3-3. So I don't know. I don't know how that table is going to pan out, but it's probably just going to be these two guys moving on.
Well, you have Atletico in the mix as well. So Atletico would have been really happy with that result.
Well, they drew 1-1 to
Carabag?
Carabag, yeah.
Again?
Yeah.
They just drew 1-1 with Carabag in the reverse fixture.
Yeah.
They drew 1-1 again.
Yep.
Wow, what's going on with Atletico?
Yeah, man, they're not doing too well, man. And even in the La Liga, they have a big goal drought happening. So they need to fix some stuff up. The rest of the results, pretty straightforward. Man U 2-0 Benfica. PSG, absolute riot on Anderlecht.
Well, there's been a lot of talk going on about how Neymar's behaving like the spoiled brat. Do you like Neymar?
Not as much as everyone else does. To be honest, he's not 220 million worth.
he's a great player. I really like him. But it seems like he's been behaving like a bit of a spoiled brat. So the rest of the squad is actually put off by him with all the incidents, you know, fighting with Cavani, who's going to take free kicks, who's going to take penalties. Cavani was apparently offered $1 million or €1 million as compensation for letting Neymar take set pieces.
That club's out of control.
Club is so out of control. Where's FFP gone? It's a shambles. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's complete shite. And I don't know, man. He's a tremendous player, obviously, in whichever team he goes to, adds tremendous value to them. But this stuff is as important as your conduct on field. And
absolutely,
it goes a long way in terms of cohesion and gelling within a team. So you can't do that with someone like Edinson Cavani, regardless of how big you are. And the whole Alves, like by the looks of it, the Alves and Neymar united front against everyone else. Thiago Silva's in the mix, so another Brazilian there. So I don't know what the chemistry is going to pan out to be, but Emery has a big task in his hand to figure this stuff out.
I don't think Emery has the man management capabilities to actually handle this.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone like, dare I say, a Jose, or even maybe a Pep Guardiola.
You need a Carlo Ancelotti, PSG 2.0. The best man manager out there.
Probably. I actually may have made the grave mistake. So we were actually discussing who's the best coach in the world, maybe about a couple of months back on a WhatsApp group. And people were hating on Pep Guardiola because Man City drew 1-1 with Everton.
Right.
And then I came up with the best suggestion. Oh, you know, I think it's Carlo Ancelotti.
And he got sacked.
And he just got sacked. And look at what Pep Guardiola's doing. And then you can totally change that around and say Pep Guardiola is the best coach in the world now.
Yeah. I think Ancelotti needs his half a season off, just recoup and stuff. And he's going to come back better than ever, man. I really like that coach.
I think he's a great coach.
And just beyond a coach, like the whole man management part of it, so many ex-players of his have come out and said, he is literally the best person who has coached me ever, including someone like Cristiano Ronaldo. And you don't expect something like that from him as well. Jumping into day two for this week's Champions League matches, we have a biggie coming up, Tottenham-Real Madrid.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Again, Pochettino came out with a statement, not sure if Kane's playing or not. If he's not, then I don't even know, man. This match just won't be too much fun then.
I don't know about it being too much fun or not, but definitely Kane, like I said, would add to any team in the world. And likewise, he would do the same against Real because he literally needs one chance and he's going to score.
And he came pretty close in that last leg to score.
I think he hit the post a couple of times.
And Navas had a pretty good save on him as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Remains to be seen. If Kane plays, it'll be a cracker of a match. If he doesn't, I still like what Pochettino is doing with the squad, so he might give them a bit of a trouble.
I think we're really not giving Pochettino the kind of credit he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget, he's the one who actually has developed Kane into the kind of player he is. You could argue that Kane was there at Tottenham before Pochettino came, but he's become this goal machine since Pochettino's been there.
True. I wouldn't attribute that completely to Pochettino. He is a natural striker and definitely Pochettino's helped him flourish. So that's there. And I have a question actually. Is this one at Wembley or not?
Yes, it's at Wembley.
Yeah.
I think that's in Tottenham's favour. It's a big pitch. Tottenham will not have the ball, too much of the ball. Real will have a lot of the ball. Real are not firing that much. And I think the big pitch will help Spurs. They'll play on the break. There'll be plenty of spaces that Real leave behind them. And I'm fairly certain he's going to play with some pace. So you'll probably have Son in there. Mm-hmm. Might even have Sissoko for his legs and his pace.
Sissoko, yeah, might not. Son, I'm pretty sure, will be in there. Especially how he performed with Kane in that match with your beloved Liverpool. Son completely destroyed that backline along with Kane. So I think he's a shoo-in for the team. Especially with or without Kane, I would feel he'd still be in. Remains to be seen. Matches in a few hours. I'm excited about this match tonight, man. Can't wait.
Yeah, super excited. I have a very sneaky feeling Tottenham might nick it. I just have a really weird feeling.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's their time to shine in the Champions League. Let's see what happens.
I don't know, man. Against Real, the team of Europe for the past 3 years, I would say, ever since Zizou's come in.
The blip will come, won't it? The blip has to come.
Not now, man. It's not this year. Because I love what Zizou's doing with Ronaldo in terms of resting him and actually getting through to him. And Ronaldo's never complained this season. And he sort of understands that he needs to be rested, pushing him into that striker role so that he flourishes there. I don't think the blip's yet. I don't think the blip's going to come this year. Definitely not against Tottenham.
I think it will come this year. The team is not on form. If they lose this game, they might just end up finishing second in the group, having to face a really difficult opponent in the knockout stages. And I just don't think this team will. It's definitely, Real is definitely not going to win the league this year. For sure. They just don't have that kind of coaching ability. Zizou is a great man manager, but he's not the best coach. Let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, so with a team like Real, you don't need to be the best coach around. You just need, I think man management is way more important in a team like Real than your coaching abilities because you already have that talent.
No, but that can only take you so far. Yeah, he's won two seasons. He's done brilliant. Ancelotti came, he had a really good season. He won the Champions League as well in his first season. But when things go awry, you need coaching. You need really good coaching. You need to step it up on the training pitch and your coaches really need to know what they need to focus on. Because players are off form. How are you going to get a player back into form? It doesn't magically happen, right? Yeah, okay. The mental aspect is a big thing. But the actual training is what actually determines what is usually going to happen on a match day. So I disagree with you there. And I really think that Real will have a blip this season in both the league and the Champions League. And they will go out in the Champions League as well at some stage. Definitely not this stage or the round of 16 or the quarters. But maybe the semis or maybe even lose the final.
That's interesting. I like how definitive your opinions are. I agree with you about the league part. Barcelona is doing pretty well and giving them enough competition to not help them retain the league at all. So, but Champions League, I don't know. I still have my doubts. Another thing about Real, which I really like, is how Asensio is just killing it. I love
that
talent.
He's a superstar. He's already a superstar.
I love that guy's left foot, dude. He has the best left foot since Messi and he has the ability
to... I'm just stretching that a bit. Just a tad.
I don't think so, man. I have high hopes of Asensio. I truly feel that...
Yeah, but the best left foot since Messi, really?
Yeah, man. 100%. Because that left foot is not just Messi's brilliant left foot.
And I used to say that about Van Persie. So
yeah. I don't know why would you say that about Van Persie, but Asensio at his age has already shown what Van Persie couldn't for those initial years at Arsenal where he was, ooh, next superstar. Theek hai. All of a sudden, he's 30. He's at Man U, has a brilliant season. And all of a sudden, where is Van Persie right now?
Okay, they're two
different players. I genuinely don't know where Van Persie is right
now. So I don't even want to get into that.
Uh-huh.
But I was only talking about purely about the left foot.
I don't know, man. I think that left foot has the ability to strike a mean knuckleball, yet still put a beautiful curler in, which is...
You're forgetting someone who's actually playing in that position and should be playing in that position if he's not injured. It's a certain Welshman, Mr. Gareth Bale.
Yeah. I have views about Gareth Bale. Maybe we'll dive into it a little later because we're a little short on time here.
Yeah.
But Asensio, man, I have high hopes. 5 years down the line, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the Ballon d'Or or something.
Let's see. He's not even starting games right now.
Yeah, he's not even starting games right now. And Zizou's apparently... I'm pretty sure Zizou's doing the right thing there. Because they have an Isco there, they have the Ronaldo management to do, they have Bale who's injured on and off. So he's managing him well. The other game that we kind of want to talk about a little bit here would be Man City-Napoli.
Oh, that's going to be a cracker. I hope it's going to be a cracker.
It is. I'm pretty sure it is because they both have great, great coaches. Coaches who both of us really respect and admire.
Yeah.
Not Guardiola, obviously, because he's Guardiola, but also Sarri. He's done some tremendous stuff for that team. And he brings a very fresh and unique mindset to that team. And I really feel like he's energized them. Just having them lead the Italian league table right now is a commendable feat.
Absolutely. Considering how dominant Juve have been.
Yeah.
In a stale league like Serie A. So stale. So boring. Yeah.
Tone down, brother. Tone down.
But yeah, it's tactical and all that. But it's so boring. It's so boring. Thank God this man has come and he's energized the league.
Yeah.
And
you would have thought that it would have been either an Inter or an AC because of their investments and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's Sarri and he's killing it, man. I really like that coach. So that match is going to be something to watch out for as well. What was the first leg result for that match?
That was 2-1 to Man City. Well, not the first leg, but the reverse fixture, yeah.
The reverse fixture, correct. So that'll be an interesting fixture. So it's going to be an interesting night for both of us tonight.
Yeah.
So that about wraps it up with this segment. What's next in the corner for today, Bharat?
Let's dive into some fantasy, Vicky.
Let's do it.
So how was your week, Vicky?
I played a wild card and I got like 40 points. I don't know, man. It was tough because I played a free hit the last week and my team reverted back to the original sack of smelly poo it was. And I had Bae, who had no hopes of playing, ended up playing. And I
got a clean sheet.
I had Kane, who didn't play as well. So I decided to use my wild card. Was kind of happy with my team. I popped Sanchez in, thinking that based on the Everton game that he'd have another cracker against Swansea, but that didn't work out too well. Other than that, good decisions, I would say Sané, captained him. I think he's literally a little over half my points right there. Yeah. And I also played Shinji Okazaki.
Ooh.
Because
why?
I had a feeling that he's been doing pretty well with Leicester, and I had a feeling that new manager, unsettled team, and he would be go-to with Vardy, especially because I just had a good vibe from him. He's not that expensive, 5-odd mil, but didn't even come off the bench. So total disaster there. Other than that, I just defer it to you, brother, because mine's not too much.
So I had a pretty decent week, actually. Drafted in Zaha, and he scored a 96-minute equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to drop Bae to the bench, and then I got him back. And he gave me a clean sheet. TDG, I relegated to the bench. Ouch. And I got him back. So he gave me a clean sheet as well. So Man United, in terms of clean sheets, it's always good value to go with the Jose team for clean sheets. Apart from that, whoever had Kolasinac, well done. He's been on beast mode this season. 3 assists and 3 goals. Mm-hmm. That's insane for a left back.
He's their second highest scorer after Lacazette. That's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous, isn't
it? Yeah.
Apart from that, I think everybody had a bad week who had Harry Kane, because nobody wanted to really take him out except you.
Wild card.
You actually took him out.
I took him out. But I bought Sanchez. So as soon as he's fit, I'll just sell Sanchez and bring him back in.
But what happens if Sanchez comes into form in the next game?
I mean, you can't have 11-12 million players firing, right?
That's why they're 11-12 million players, because they both fire.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't. I'm obviously going to drop Sanchez over Kane because of Kane's... Kane is just so reliable. He's the most value for money, even though he has such a high price. He's literally the most value for money over the past season and this season as well. I have Lukaku as well. I'm on the fence about what to do with him. I kind of want to hold on because I feel like he's going to start fighting again. He has good potential.
And he hasn't scored in 6, though.
In all competitions, yeah.
In all comps, yeah.
Yeah, so he's due. So I would stick with... Lukaku there. A few players that I feel like a lot of fantasy managers are going to struggle with is the Man City lineup, because of the rotation policy that
you can't predict that man's team. It's impossible. The only thing you might be able to predict is the goalkeeper and maybe parts of the back four and maybe the holding midfielder, which is Fernandinho. But then he can easily just get Yaya in to give Fernandinho a rest, or if he has a Champions League game.
Fernandinho obviously is not a good bet for fantasy because he's not going to get you as many points. True. So I actually disagree with you there. There is some logic to the way he's rotating his teams now, especially with all cups firing on all cylinders now. So there's a reason I stuck with Sané, and there's a reason I had Jesus in my lineup, even though Jesus didn't get me much, but he played full 90 minutes. And that's because Aguero had a full 120-minute game in the cup.
Aguero didn't even come on.
Yeah, so he had a 120-minute game with the Carabao Cup. So I kind of knew that he'd come in late if Man City weren't doing too well, which is nowadays it's not a thing. KDB, he seems like the go-to for Pep. And Pep makes sure that whenever the game is safe, that he just subs him off so that he saves his legs for whatever fixture comes up next. So basis of tonight's game against Napoli, I think it will be fairly straightforward to be able to predict that midfield lineup. I think that's the one that throws off people the most. So if you just look at the past two or three matches, you kind of get a fair idea of who's going to play, whether it's going to be a Sterling, Silva, KDB or Sané. It's basically between these four because they're the points machines there. So I would keep a close eye on tonight's match, including how the match ends, the later stages, who gets subbed off, who gets subbed on and stuff. I mean, Sterling has just been remarkable this season. I had zero expectations of him as a player and as a fantasy player, and he's delivered on both fronts.
I think Pep has actually decided to mold his game in a way that suits him towards goal scoring. So Raheem Sterling is actually your typical winger, is that he has lots of pace, he's small, he's fleet-footed. He doesn't really have a good cross. But what Pep has got him doing this season is actually getting into goal scoring positions, and he's delivered. He never had a good goal scoring touch, but he's actually developed that this season, and I think he will continue to perform.
I agree with you, man. And another thing I want to talk about before we round up this fantasy segment is players that, you know, are good value for money picks from the mid-level teams. And both of us know very clearly those are the players that actually help you have a decent season in fantasy. I mean, the top four, top five guys, they're a no-brainer based on the current form of teams, and they almost always deliver. But it's those mid-level players that sort of plug in the gaps in your team and take you through. So I have high hopes of, at least for the next 2 weeks, barring the Stoke game, I have high hopes for Watford.
And so Richarlison then?
Not just Richarlison, but Doucouré as well, because Doucouré is a mil and a half cheaper than Richarlison and almost always gets the same amount of opportunities from a fantasy perspective that Richarlison does as well. On the field, I know Richarlison is way better than Doucouré, but from what it translates to from a fantasy perspective, I think they're both at par. And having a player who's maybe likely to give you the same amount of points and who's a million and a half cheaper, it feels like a no-brainer to me right now.
I disagree with you there, because I think Doucouré is more of a box-to-box player. Mm-hmm. So he has a certain responsibility, a defensive responsibility that all central midfielders have. But Richarlison is playing in a front three.
He's essentially an
attacking forward.
Right.
And he likes to cut in. He plays on the left. He likes to cut in on his right. So there might be some shooting going on over there. So I think he's a better bet, even though he's a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
He's also good in the air, as we've seen in past games where he's scored a couple of headers as well. So I think Richarlison, if anything from Watford, Richarlison should be your man if you have that kind of money to spend.
Fair enough. And do you have any other value for money picks from these mid-level teams? Someone from maybe a Newcastle or a Burnley? I know that defense has been semi-decent off late, so they could give you the off points. I have Rossi in my team.
So I think fellow fantasy players can safely bet on Newcastle and Burnley to get them a few clean sheets.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have two Newcastle defenders in my lineup, as well as a Burnley defender. And if Newcastle-Burnley had ended up nil-nil, I would have hit an 80-pointer. So it would have been a really good week for me. But then I got the clean sheet for Burnley, didn't get the clean sheet for Newcastle. Anyway, water under the bridge. So one player I would recommend is Demaria Gray from Leicester. The reason being that Claude Puel has just been appointed the manager and he's changed the system up a little bit. So I think he played more of a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-2-3-1, in which Demaria Gray played on the right. He got a goal and he got an assist. So I think he's a fairly good option for that kind of price. I think he's priced in the mid 5 millions. So if you have a slot open with that kind of money, I think you should definitely go for him. He will be playing more. He's a really exciting player.
That sounds good, man. So that about wraps up the segment for fantasy. And now we're going to be jumping into our next segment, Indian football. So for the inaugural episode, Bharat, I think it'd be a good idea if you run our listeners by the situation, I would say, that the Indian football space is seeing and how it's structured and what lies ahead.
Right. So this is a little sort of long-winded, so bear with me. Essentially, we have two leagues in India now. The one with loads of money and the famous star supporting them is the ISL, which is the Indian Super League. And then we have the National League, which was rechristened as the I-League, the Indian League. The I-League has never had too many sponsors. The clubs have just been putting their own money in to no avail. It's just sort of a pride thing. They don't get too much revenue from tickets or sponsorships or even actually winning the competition. It's actually really meager and their salary bills are really high comparatively. The ISL, on the other hand, is an IMGR property. So IMG, being the biggest sports marketing company in the world, tied up with Reliance in India, decided they want to take over Indian football, bought the rights for it for 15 years, paying AFF a pittance of 50 crores a year. Although in 2008, it wasn't really a pittance, but now it seems like a pittance. So they've been promoting the ISL along with Star Sports. So Star Sports is the third partner there. And Star Sports has been running that on all their channels, including all their regional channels, to try and actually get the audience, the Indian audience, to watch the ISL really closely. So that's what's been happening in terms of the structure. The real issue happens when AFC and FIFA point out that ISL teams cannot participate in continental competition. So they actually can't participate in the AFC Champions League or the AFC Cup. wherein teams that are part of the I-League, which is the actual recognized structure in India, can participate basis on their standings in the league.
That also has to do with how the leagues are structured, right? Correct me if I'm wrong here. I-League follows a routine league format in terms of the duration of the season and the way the teams are playing. And ISL is more of a burst format where it's trying to emulate what the IPL is doing for cricket, like a shorter format and stuff. So I totally understand why FIFA and the Indian Football Association would point that out.
You're kind of correct. The I-League is not exactly the typical league, wherein a league that lasts for maybe 8, 9 or 10 months, which is most of the year. It actually lasts for about maybe 4 or 5, which is also not enough. The ISL, like you said, is a blitz format. It's like the T20, and they try to get the audience captivated by playing a two-month league. And it doesn't work like that. But the actual reason is that the I-League is the recognized national league. It's the top tier of Indian football, so to speak. Whereas ISL is more of a franchise-based league, much like the MLS when the MLS started. So that's one of the big reasons why ISL clubs have not been allowed to participate in that, because it's actually not part of the national league structure, so to speak. So essentially what has been happening in terms of both the leagues, they've been trying to figure out solutions. And when I say they, I mean the Football Federation, IMGR, AFC and FIFA have been trying to find solutions as to what they're going to do with the two leagues. They obviously can't run in parallel because you actually have players moving from one league to the other as well. What they're actually thinking of doing, and this is the most likely scenario that's going to happen, is that ISL will become the top tier league now in India automatically. And what that means for the I-League clubs is that they're screwed because they never had money and now they've been relegated, so to speak, to the second tier. The really interesting question is, so Bengaluru FC, who were a really big part of the I-League, have joined the ISL. So they've been promoted, essentially, if this scenario pans out. What's really interesting is what is going to happen to the three big Calcutta clubs. So you have East Bengal, you have Mohun Bagan, and you have Mohammedan Sporting. What's going to happen to them? Where are they going to play? Because they don't want to pay the kind of fees that ISL wants. It's in millions of dollars. They probably don't have that kind of money. They don't want to pay that kind of money to actually enter the ISL. They have a fair point in saying that they are the biggest clubs in the country. So that's the really interesting thing that we're going to see pan out. And let's see what happens. Hopefully it's going to be for the best and not for just the money mongers.
I hope so too, man. Football deserves attention. The attention it's getting, it does deserve it, but in a particular direction. So hopefully this all pans out for the good of the clubs, like you mentioned, Mohun Bagan, East Bengal.
And these clubs are institutions. They've been around for longer than some English clubs.
right.
And they've actually beaten English teams back in the 1800s, the late 1800s.
Right. So it'll be sad to see them wither away because of the infusion of money. It's the incorrect direction that it would take. So hope to see it all pan out. And we will definitely be diving into this a little more in detail in our next episode to sort of figure out where exactly the issues lie and what the current situation is. So that's what we have for the Indian football segment right now. So that's it for the first ever episode of the Football Corner. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you guys get your podcast from. And see you next week.
See you.